up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. My name is Will Brinson. I am the host of the CBS Sports' daily NFL podcast. We are continuing to roll right through our rankings edition of the pod. 2 days ago, we had, a former NFL offensive lineman, Jeff Schwartz, to do offensive line rankings. Yesterday, we had former NFL defensive back, Brian McFadden, to do defensive back rankings. And today, we have former NFL pass rusher, Ryan Wilson. What's up? You're not a, no.
Can you imagine? Jeff Schwartz, B-Mac, Ryan Wilson. I will say this, and I think we're doing this Labor Day as well, but last Labor Day, I flew down to be a fill-in on the Fantasy Football Extravaganza season opener panel, and you and Dave Richard were hosting, and Dave actually asked me a question, or maybe I had a question from the phone, because people were actually phoning in. It was a phone bank.
You were having to answer fantasy football questions.
That's right, and everyone knows I'm not a fantasy football expert, but they hauled me in because of my striking good looks. And Dave asked me a question, and I actually made the joke that, yes, I currently don't play football, because we were sitting around with a lot of football players. Lindale White was there. Denard Robinson was there.
Fred Taylor
was there. I asked Fred Taylor, by the way, who catches more grief, David Garrard or Blake Bortles? He goes, ooh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
But anyway, Dave Richard said I said to Dave Richard in answering the question, I'm not a current football player, but I did make it through one training camp before I got cut. And Chris Hassel, the world's best host, anchor at CBS Sports HQ, said to me afterwards when I was introduced to him for the first time, he goes, hey, you really did play football? I was like, no.
Like, you think I played an NFL? You think I made it to an NFL training camp, Hassel? Are you on drugs, pal?
Are you clowning me, Chris Hassel? Seriously. Anyway, so that's my lasting memory and my closest ever to coming to becoming an NFL football player. So apologies to Jeff Schwartz and B-Mac, but yeah, here I am.
No, it's perfectly fine. I'm sure that you will have information that will shock me, just like Jeff and B-Mac. Really quickly, Julio Jones, just a couple of news items, not a lot going on right now in the NFL, waiting on training camps in the next like 8 days, 7 days, whatever it is, before the Broncos fire up. Julio Jones is taking Arthur Blank's word for it, Ryan, that his new contract will get done and he's not planning to hold out. Buy or sell Arthur Blank's word?
Well, yeah. So Julio said this week. He said it last month when asked about his contract situation. Last year, he skipped some time. I'm not sure if he skipped training camp last year. I can't remember, but I think he skipped some of the mandatory workout.
He did scrub his Falcons items from his Instagram, as I think wrote about.
This time around, he didn't show up for voluntary workouts. Who cares? He was there for mandatory workouts. He expects to be there for training camp. And he said that Arthur Blank assured both him and Grady Jarrett, who was on the franchise tag, that they will get paid. Arthur Blank said that both those guys will be Falcons for life if he has anything to do with it. I'm not worried about it. Currently, and tell me if you know the answer to this, where does Julio Jones rank in terms of average salary among all wide receivers?
Oh, off the top of my head, I would guess that he is.
You seem to be looking at something.
No. I'm looking at an NFL.com. Todd Gurley gives update. No need. I haven't looked at Julio. I'm just guessing. I will say that he is sixth on all wide receivers.
12th. Guess
12th?
Who?
What?
Guess who is just behind him at number 13?
Some rookie?
Allen Robinson.
Oh my God.
So Allen Robinson and Julio Jones are mentioned in the same breath in terms of I think it's 12.5 million, something like that's what Julio's making this year, which is, look, that ain't peanuts. But when Odell's making 18.
Well, when Sammy Watkins is making 16 and Jarvis Landry is making 15.
You hate Sammy Watkins, by the way.
I just think that, like, Sammy Watkins has one career 1,000-yard season. Julio Jones has
hurt, played in terrible teams.
Julio Jones has averaged 1,598 yards the last 5 years.
He plays on very good football teams.
I will say this. Julio signed a $71 million deal in the 2015 season, and he made $71 million. Like, he's rich beyond his wildest dreams.
I think they readjusted his salary last year. They tweaked a little bit, right?
They did. As I wrote yesterday, Thomas Dimitroff went out back and shook the salary cap tree. Shook a few bucks loose, got Julio Jones some more money. But when he signed the $71 million deal, remember, it was basically the same, I think, as what A.J. Green did. A.J. Green got $60 million, a little bit more per year, less total on his contract. Julio got $47 million guaranteed. If he had tried to push the envelope on getting really paid, he could have held on and gotten more. We've just seen the market jump. But if I'm Julio, I'm furious because Antonio Brown's gotten paid twice. Odell Beckham might get paid again by the Browns. Like, these guys have all gotten paid multiple times. I'm making less than Adam Thielen, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, AJ Green, Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs. I want my money if I'm Julio. What would you do if you're the Falcons? Would you give him $95 million?
What does that work out annually? What are you thinking?
Well, that's the thing. So he has, Julio has, I believe, 2 years left on his deal right now. He has 2019 and 2020 left on his deal. His cap numbers are 13.46 and 12.82. They can't save any money by cutting him. So would you give him a 3-year extension added onto the 2 years? Would you give him, right? I mean,
that's what they gave, what's his face, Antonio Brown in Oakland.
Yeah. So if you're thinking, if you're looking at a situation where.
And he ain't the headache that Antonio Brown is and is going to be.
So if he's got $26 million in money left on his deal, how much would you give him on the 3 years? Because he's going to.
Antonio on the 3 years.
$50 million?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I think that's what you have to pay him.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't have to be guaranteed.
No. The only concern if you're worried about Julio is that he's 30. Like Odell and Mike Evans and DeAndre Hopkins are all in the prime. Yeah. So maybe that's a concern. I would pay him enough. I'd give him a 3-year deal that blows his mind and say, you're going to be a Falcon for the rest of your life. And if you want to keep playing after the age of 34.
The rest of your life ends at 33, by the way. That should be written at the top of the contract.
But Julio seemed last time he was willing to take more money up front. So he might be willing to do that again where you have a situation where in the final 2 years of the deal, you could cut him if you need to. Not that you're going to want to, but what if he falls off a cliff, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless he literally falls off a cliff, he's going to be really good for the next few years.
Todd Gurley sat down on Tuesday night at the Gatorade Player of the Year ceremony with Omar Ruiz of the NFL Network. I don't know if you saw Todd Gurley's outfit. It looks like he's wearing women's pajamas. It looks skinnier too. Asked about his knee. He said, "It's good, man. It's good." I'm just like, "Hey, we're going to find out in training camp. You know, once training camp comes, you got the preseason, but you don't have a lot in preseason." Asked if he plans to change his playing style. Gurley said, "No, man, for me, I've been doing this my whole life, so it would be hard for me to even try to change my style of play. That's not even me. I don't even know how to describe my game. I'm just going to keep doing what I can do until I can't do it no more. That's why we play this sport, but I've been feeling good. I'm definitely not going to change anything. I'm going to come with that same mindset, like 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. I'm going to try and go get it, so I'm just excited." Buy or sell, Todd Gurley is going to be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sold that he's going to be healthy the whole time. He should give that answer every time someone asks. That exact same answer works for it every time. In fact, he should say it on his phone and just play his phone because that's all he's going to get asked about. So they have Malcolm Brown. They drafted Daryl Henderson in the 3rd round. They have contingency plans. They're not going to give him the ball 30 times a game. So he ain't going to be the same player. And it's too bad for Todd Gurley and it's too bad for the Rams. But I think, again, the overarching storyline is that you don't pay running backs. And this is terrible news for Zeke Elliott.
It really is, especially with his latest suspension stuff. Like, I know Dan Graziano, we talked about this on the podcast, like, would you pay Zeke Elliott? There's a good chance that Zeke Elliott doesn't get paid by the Cowboys ever, and that they just DeMarco Murray him, franchise tag him twice, and let him run him into the ground and let him hit free agency.
I was on HQ the other day, I told.
Our 24/7 streaming sports network, it's free, Apple Roku. It's his required plug, sorry, right? Apple, no, Roku, okay. PlayStation, wherever, Xbox, Ryan's house, wherever you want to watch it.
Yeah, Ryan's house. Got to watch it on the old school tube television. I would pay Jalen Smith before I pay Zeke Elliott. That's what I said.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I thought that was pretty controversial, apparently.
No, it's a bold statement, but I mean, I would pay the explosive linebacker who seems to have recovered from injury well before I pay the running back who's led the league in rushing yards 2 out of 3
seasons. They just paid DeMarcus Lawrence. They got to pay Dak. They got to pay Amari. They got to pay Byron Jones. I think Zeke's near the bottom of that list.
If you pay all those guys on defense and you keep those guys around, you keep your offensive line and you draft a David Montgomery type in the 3rd round of the next year's draft, you can look
done,
Zeke,
done.
Zeke is special. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, there's just a like he's replaceable. I mean, yeah,
with someone who makes less than $1 million a year. Absolutely.
According to NFL Network, I love, and I don't want to bash anybody who works for NFL Media or NFL Network, Noah Kozlov on HQ accused me of being too nice when I did it at Sportsline Hit. I was like, I was qualifying everything. I was like said something mean about somebody. I was like, now look, like, I was like, the Chiefs are a good bet to miss the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to miss the playoffs.
You learned your lesson with Mike Glennon.
That's right. That's right. But according to Tom Pelissero, NFL investigators have had full access to the full audio recording of Tyreek Hill and his fiance for months. I'm just pointing out that it's like NFL Network gets the scoop on the NFL investigators. I mean, they were just acting like they're not in bed together. You know, it's like you work for the same people. The new audio in question centers on Hill, and this is aired by KCSP AM. Of the conversation, the audio in question centers on Hill and Espinal discussing the 2014 incident that led to Hill pleading guilty to domestic assault and battery by strangulation. In the audio, Hill is heard denying his role in the altercation. Buy or sell the idea that Tyreek Hill could miss zero games, Ryan?
Oh, boy. That is going to be a poop storm for Roger Goodell if that's what happens.
There's no way he lets that happen.
Some college kid, I can't remember where, just was suspended one game for some domestic off-field incidents, and someone tweeted this, and it's a good point. Anytime you suspend someone one game for something that's domestic abuse related, you're basically saying, I don't care.
That is correct.
If Roger Goodell has learned anything from Ray Rice, from Kareem Hunt, from all these issues that they've had, it better be something along the lines of Tyreek Hill, if guilty in the eyes of the NFL, needs to be punished. So we'll see what happens. The Chiefs clearly are very concerned. They drafted Mecole Hardman in the second round, who is basically a Tyreek Hill clone on the field. So we'll see. But anything Roger Goodell does, none of that surprises me. He's done a number of things. And, you know, you're surprised the first 50 times. But at some point, you have to sort of be like, okay, well, let's see what happens, because literally no one knows.
They need to go to Tyreek Hill and say, listen, we will suspend you either 4 or 6 games, but you have to agree to not appeal. And if you appeal, if you're trying to appeal, we're going to suspend you 8 games or 10 games. And then we're going to play these audio clips and be like,
yeah, wait a second. What he did, I think, they didn't have video of Tyreek Hill, right?
There's no video. There is audio.
So we've heard what
Hill,
he said.
In which Hill is, quote, heard administering threats to his fiance and discussing using a belt to discipline his son.
I don't know if what he did is worse than Kareem Hunt, because Kareem Hunt was on video. But I mean, I think
he called his girl a bee and threatened to like choke her out. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you.
I mean, yeah. And you want to be the person standing up saying, well, this is clearly not as bad as that. And here's why.
There's no proof. We gave him 2 games. It's like this happened with Ray. Cause here's my logic on this, Ryan. And look, you're right. Roger Goodell could err on the side of stupidity and have it all blow up in his face, but it's the 100th year. I think the NFL looked at this and said, okay, this case is not going to proceed fast enough for the start of the season. If we wait around for the courts to deal with this, we are going to be sitting on Tyreek Hill playing week 1 in a primetime game that everybody's watching. I think it's a primetime game because the Chiefs are playing. And they are going, like people are, it's all people are going to be asking about. Instead of asking, hey, how is the 100th year anniversary working out for them? They're like, why is Tyreek Hill on the field? And if you suspend him 2 games, people would be like, he beat his kid and he threatened to choke his wife to death and you suspended him 2 games and they're going to play the audio like they did with Ray Rice. So instead, just bang him with 6 games or 4 games or 8 games or whatever you want to do. People will be like, that's pretty harsh, but you know what? This was terrible, and they'll move on. If Roger Goodell has any sense about him whatsoever, he will do that. But as we point out, he might not have any sense. All right. Let's take, oh, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo. This is a peak offseason, peak July. Jimmy Garoppolo says he's, quote, good to go for the 49ers camp. Buy or sell Jimmy Garoppolo, 16 games.
Yeah, I mean, that injury was a freak injury. It was non-contact ACL, as you know. I won't finish that sentence. No, but it's been a while. So that was in September. So that's been, oh Lord, I killed Brinson.
Good. Congratulations. You got me on an ACL joke finally.
Yeah, finally. So last September, he should be 100% by the time, or he's close to 100%. I think the only issue will be above the neck. So mentally, is he okay with his knee? I don't know if he's going to wear a brace. I'm sure he will. He should be fine. He is critical to that team not being terrible, by the way. And then as much as I love Shanahan as their coach, you're going to start asking some questions if that team wins 3 games.
Oh, that team wins 3 games. I think everybody's – at least one of the guys, whether it's either Shanahan or
Lynch.
Yeah, John Lynch. Somebody's getting fired if that team wins 3 games. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll rank our top edge rushers. for 2019.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, so we have a multiple list on the site, Ryan. Did you do edge and defensive tackles in the same breath? Is that what that was? Same post? Is that what that was? Defensive lineman, basically?
Oh, that's how much we think of these guys. We put them together.
Okay. Well, let's run through very quickly. What should we spend more time on? One of them we're going to run through really quickly. Let's spend more time on the edge rushers. I think they're more interesting.
These defensive tackles are pretty.
They're pretty. Amazing. It's pretty damn
all right.
Good.
So let me just set this up.
Okay. Just to be clear, you didn't. So like Brian McFadden did a blended safety cornerback list. You did two lists, right?
Right.
Okay.
20 names.
20 total names on one big list?
I do the defensive tackles, 1 to 10 or 10 to 1 countdown, and then I do another list of the edge rushers. Same post.
All right, screw it. Let's do this.
Not my votes. These are the consensus among 11 CBSSports.com writers and editors, including yourself, Will Brents.
Give me 10, 9, 8 for defensive tackles, and I'll tell you what my list was, and we'll haggle about them, and you can point out where you think the consensus was wrong.
All right, the consensus list. I'm doing the consensus list on my list.
Yes.
There was a tie at number 10, Grady Jarrett and Cam Hayward. Mm-hmm. Number 9, Kenny Clark out of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Number 8, DeForest Buckner. Four of the last 5 years, they've drafted defensive linemen, DeForest Buckner, and hopefully Nick Bosa will be the two home runs. Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead haven't quite been as good. But DeForest Buckner had a huge year last year.
Let's just discuss those real quick. And then Jarrell Casey is number what, 5 or 6?
He is number 7, and he is, in my mind, one of the most underrated players in the NFL.
I agree. All right, no, sorry. Give me number 6, too.
Geno, I'm 31 years old, Atkins.
All right, interesting. Okay, so I had So you said tie was Cameron Hayward and Grady Jarrett. I had Jarrett at 8, Geno Atkins at 9, and Cameron Hayward at 10. Probably disrespectful to Geno Atkins, but he is a little bit older. I had Kenny Clark at 7, Akeem Hicks at 6, and Jarrell Casey at 5. I actually didn't.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I didn't have
Casey is – he plays in Tennessee. And we said this on the previous podcast about how Nashville is a great town, but just not a great NFL town for some reason.
And Casey doesn't like he gets sacks in the position, but not a ton, not enough to where, you know, people are talking about him like Aaron Donald or
Right. He's averaged 6 sacks since 2015. Yeah. Aaron Donald has
averaged 20, a season. It's pretty remarkable how we've seen this shift too, I think. Like, look at Geno Atkins and Casey and Grady Jarrett now. Sort of, Casey's not as much an undersized defensive tackle, but like Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, not undersized, but like these guys have become so important to the modern NFL where you can get pressure on the interior and then you can sort of manufacture edge rushers if you need to. I mean, we see a lot of teams that aren't as concerned necessarily, with having the traditional edge rushing presence.
Hey, well, the big PFF thing now is cornerbacks are more important than edge rushers.
Right. But you can do cornerbacks and interior pass rushers, which a lot of these teams have. Who else is, in the top five?
Number five, Akeem Hicks, who, PFF had him at number 4, actually, among all defensive tackles. Number 4, Chris Jones. Chris Jones had 15.5 sacks last year. He's just turned 25. No one's really talking about him. Number 3, Jimmy Watt. I don't know what JJ stands. Do we know what JJ stands for?
Justin James, I think.
Oh, I like James Jimmy Watt.
It's a cowboy name. Justin James Watt. That is a cowboy name.
He had 16 sacks last year, and the two previous years is when he was injured, and we were all like, okay, this dude's done. Is he going to retire? Is he ever going to return to form? Yeah, he returned to form. Yep. Number 2, Fletcher Cox, who would be number 1 on any other planet. And number 1, Aaron Donald, 20.5 sacks last year.
That I had Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, J.J. Watt, and Chris Jones as my top 4 on my personal list. It looks like that you had Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones, J.J. Watt as your top 4. So pretty a fairly decent consensus in terms of those top 4. Some people, R.J. White moved J.J. all the way down to number 5, I think, and had Geno Atkins a little bit higher, which is, you know, it's fine, whatever.
That's respectful.
I just think the upside that J.J. Watt brings, if he is completely healthy, and I don't know how much longer he's going to play, but the upside that he brings to me is worth including him all the way at the top, because he is truly – he's a – like the top 3 guys there, Aaron Donald for me, Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, and J.J. Watt, I think are already Hall of Famers.
Hall of Flamers,
yeah. Maybe Fletcher Cox isn't a Hall of Famer yet. J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, if they quit right now, would be in the Hall of Fame, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Aaron Donald was the only unanimous selection on this list.
Yeah, and that's a no-brainer. Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in football right now, and he has made 4 straight All-Pro teams, 4 straight Pro Bowls. He has averaged for his career, averaged as a defensive tackle, 11.9 sacks per season. That is 2.6 forced fumbles, 1.8 passes deflected, 0.8 fumble recoveries. It's ridiculous. He had 20.5 sacks last year. 20.5 sacks.
Which is almost double the year before when he had 11. So I don't know what happened to him last year. I guess getting paid was in his and the Rams' best interest.
No kidding. All right. Anybody else you want to touch on?
Just looking ahead, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, we'll see if they end up on this list next year, but they drew comparisons to Aaron Donald. They are not Aaron Donald. So Quinnen's in New York with the Jets. Ed's in New York with the Bills. So we'll see.
A couple other guys, too, who received votes but did not make the top 10. Kawan Short, JLC had him as like his fifth highest guy. Interesting. Multiple votes for Damon Harrison,
who was a top 3 guy according to PFF.
Yeah, and if you're talking about run stuffing, I think absolutely he's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. He's not as dynamic, but he might be the best run stuffer in the league. Sheldon Rankins got one vote. That's a good call. Jerron Reed got a vote as well. So those are the guys, a couple of guys who completely missed the list that are bigger names. You mentioned Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams. Also Leonard Williams. Ndamukong Suh did not make it, as well. So, those are some notable defensive tackles. On to the edge rushers. Who was, 10 through 8 on edge?
Number 10, Frank Clark, traded to the Chiefs. So he and Chris Jones are going to team up. That's actually a scary proposition. Daniel Hunter, 24 years old. Had 14.5 sacks last season, just signed a 5-year, $72 million million-dollar deal last summer. He is amazing. Number 8, Jadeveon Clowney, who has only a week left to sign a long-term deal. I don't know if that's happening. Number 7, Joey Bosa, who who was injured for a little bit last year, but his first 2 years, he was lights out. Number six, DeMarcus Lawrence, just signed all.
Joey Bosa was seven?
Yeah.
That's preposterous. How did he get ranked that low? Prisco ranked him number nine.
Cody, he had 10.5 sacks as a rookie, 12.5 in year two, only 5.5 last year because he missed nine games with I think, the foot injury.
Well, if he's healthy this year, I had him at number two.
Yeah, if he's healthy, but okay, we'll see. That's been an issue that plagues the Bosa family.
He's 23 years old. It's absurd that he is that low.
Sean Wagner McGuff is 26. I don't know if that matters.
It does not matter to me at all.
And number six is, speaking of number six, DeMarcus Lawrence. So that's the top five, the bottom five.
Okay, I had Frank Clark 10, Jadeveon Clowney 9. Clowney's, it's weird how he's gone from being like the ultimate overrated guy who has the big hit in college to being an underrated guy who's fantastic against the run and sort of the second wheel for the Texans. I'm curious, Ryan, what do you think, back to buy or sell? Do you think buy or sell Jadeveon Clowney starts week one for the Texans?
He ain't holding out. Is that his plan to hold out?
Maybe. He's not coming to training camp. He's on the franchise tag. They're not going to, he's got Bus Cook as his agent, so they're not going to pay him what he wants to get paid.
Interesting. I didn't know how far down the road that was. The thing is, that's the least of the Texans' issues. They got to sort out this offensive line. And we didn't talk about Duke Johnson, but he fired his agent.
Yep.
You know his agent's married to, right?
No.
Luther Campbell of Two Live Crew. Kristen Campbell.
That's right, because Luther came out and blasted it. Because I was talking to Mary Kay Cabot on this podcast. I was like, Mary Kay, did you ever anticipate covering a story in June that involved the former lead singer of Two Live Crew bitching about the Browns refusing to trade a backup running back? And she was like, no, when you say it that way, or like bitching about on Twitter, like tweeting about it, like Luther
Campbell.
He
actually called out Baker Mayfield. He told him to, he may have said F you or shut your F in mouth or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, if the point is like, can you imagine going to journalism school and then, and being told you're going to cover Two Live Crew's former lead singer tweeting at the Browns quarterback that he needs to shut his bleeping mouth when he's talking about the backup running back who wants a trade.
I mentioned Duke Johnson because that's another issue. I mean, the Texans need a running back, and Duke Johnson could be a potential landing spot there. So they have a lot of things to figure out in the next few weeks. I think Clowney not being there, I didn't think about until you just mentioned it. Even if he's not, I think they can get by for a few weeks, especially if J.J. Watt's healthy. That defense is actually pretty good. But there's so many other issues on the other side of the ball. Oh, and oh, by the way, they don't have a general manager, so they got to sort that out.
That's a great point. They don't have a general manager. This is sort of a time of the year when you would like to have a general manager. Thought it was interesting. I mentioned I was doing those props on Sportsline 7 to 8 p.m., I believe. 6 to 7 p.m. 6 to 7 p.m.? 7 to 8? Every night. It's on HQ. You should watch it. It's great. We were doing make or miss the playoff props. Do you know what the Houston Texans number is? If you had to guess, like, what do you think? It's like, so the Colts, for instance, will the Colts make the playoffs? Yes, minus 180, shocking, and no, plus 150. What do you think the Texans are?
Minus 120?
To miss or make?
To make.
The Texans are minus 180 to miss the playoffs in Vegas, and plus 150 to make the playoffs.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Vegas, no one likes them, huh?
Vegas does not like the Texans. It's a little surprising. I'm trying to find a reasonable comp, but like the Cowboys are plus 105 to make.
Just so much self-inflicted nonsense in that organization. Mm,
indeed it is. So that's worth watching.
I guess it makes sense that Jadeveon Clowney is holding out.
Exactly. At number eight, I had Calais Campbell. Number seven, Danielle Hunter, who is on a ridiculous and absurd contract, but is still super young. Although I think it's worth noting with the Vikings that they really need Danielle Hunter. Still just 24. He'll turn 25 in October. Had 14.5 sacks last season. They need Everson Griffin there too, though, and to be like mentally stable and healthy and on the field for them to really have that defense take it to the next level. So that is something to watch when you talk about where Danielle Hunter ranks. Cameron Jordan is an interesting guy that I had. Did we mention him yet? Or
Nope, not on the.
He didn't even make the top 10.
Yeah, no, he did. We haven't gotten there yet. Yeah.
Okay, well, give me the top five then.
Number five, Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell, according to the consensus. Number four, Myles Garrett. Pick I like a lot. I think sure. He could go off this year. Cam Jordan's number three. He was part of that 2011 draft class that had like 13 guys that were defensive tackles, edge rushers going round one. Number two, Khalil Mack.
Sure.
Number one, Von Miller.
Yeah, I think the if you're going to nitpick at the top there, maybe you put Khalil Mack over Von. I'll take Von all day over Khalil Mack. I think.
Let me point this out. I wrote this a few days before it was published, and I think some people went back and changed their vote. They were actually tied. tied at the top in terms of total votes, but they weren't tied when I made the list. So I think Von just edged out Khalil Mack. According to the advanced metrics, they like Von Miller better as a pass rusher, Khalil better as a run defender. And there were some other stats that I had here about these two. Let me see. I wrote them down somewhere.
Wow. Dubin had Khalil Mack 1, Calais Campbell 2, Cameron Jordan 3, Von Miller 4. What are you doing, Dubin? Hold yourself.
Right. Oh, so Von had 6 first place votes. Khalil had 5 first place votes. So they were neck and neck.
Yeah, they finished tied once all these jabronis changed their votes.
And Khalil played 2 fewer games, worth pointing out. So he wasn't healthy the entire time. Von, I think, played all the games. But Khalil had 4 pass defended, 6 forced fumbles, interception, and a touchdown. I think the interception came on that touchdown. I think that was a pick 6. Von had 14 and a half sacks, 3 passes defended, an interception, and 4 forced fumbles. I mean, it's half a dozen of one.
Right. And Khalil Mack, too, like, don't sleep on the fact that because he was traded, he got more buzz. You know what I mean? Like, they basically had the same season, but Khalil Mack was – every time Khalil Mack did something, it's like, look at the Raiders and laugh. Ah!
Well, every time he did something and every time John Gruden had to hold a press conference and say after the game, you know what? We really need a pass rush.
That is correct. On those middle guys, I would say, like I said, I had Joey Bosa a lot higher, maybe a little too high. I put him above Khalil Mack.
Joey Bosa or Myles Garrett, who are you taking?
For this year?
For your team as your edge rusher.
I had DeMarcus Lawrence 4 and then Myles Garrett 5, but I mean,
okay.
Myles, did you see that video of him doing the box jumps with the 40-pound weights in each hand? He's like jumping 6 feet in the air and landing on a box, like 3 feet in the air and landing on a box while holding 2 giant weights. 13 and a half sacks in his age 20. He is still just 23. Won't even turn 24 until December of 2019. 13 and a half sacks last year. And people have said that Greg Williams didn't even let him completely loose. So yeah, I would have no problem if somebody was like, I think Myles Garrett will be number one on this list next year. It's entirely possible. He's an absolute beast. So sure. I'll take Joey Bosa because I'm biased towards the Chargers, but I got no problem with Myles Garrett.
By the way, quickly, you were mentioning Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin and the defensive side of the ball. Dan Orlovsky, who's at ESPN now, the former Lions quarterback, tweeted this out on Monday, and it actually blew my mind because we like to make fun of Kirby Cousins.
Yeah.
Because he's a replacement-level quarterback. So here's what he tweeted out. He said, Kirk Cousins took way too much blame for the Vikings' struggles last year. He said he wants to take the next step to win. And Orlovsky looked at his third downs. They were 26 in the NFL on third down conversion. But 34 times, it was 36 or less. And the pocket was clean. And every single time, Kirk Cousins made the right choice in terms of where the ball was supposed to go according to the play call. And every single time, 34 times, they did not convert the first down.
How? Who's
so the play call? Better plays is what Dan Orlovsky was saying. So Kirk Cousins executed the play as it was supposed to be called. 34 times, they did not convert because the ball came up short of the sticks or the receiver dropped it or whatever. But Cousins actually made the right decision. That blew me away.
Did what does this have to do with edge rushers?
You were mentioning Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin in terms of making the Vikings better, and it reminded me of this tweet. So they have to be better on the other side of the ball, too. So it has nothing to do with edge rushers per se, but it has to do with the Vikings getting over the hump and not being, I think, 8-7-1 or whatever they were.
Chargers-Vikings Super Bowl. That's my prediction right now.
Kirby Cousins all the way.
Kirby Cousins versus Phillip Rivers. Someone has to win a big game around here. All right, that's our edge rushers list. Anybody else that was notable that was maybe left off? I think you ranked –
Chandler Jones was really the only guy who got votes just outside the top 10.
Trey Flowers, too, got votes from you, R.J. White, and Jason Lockenfora. Yeah, Chandler Jones got a bunch of – Chandler Jones is kind of weird because he has incredible stats, and it's just nobody – I don't know. Nobody really gave him a ton of votes. Chris Trapasso – Trapasso. Jerry Hughes was his fifth ranked or sixth ranked guy. Come on.
RJ gave Jerry Hughes a vote too.
Yeah. Trapasso and RJ, two Bills fans, gave Jerry Hughes big votes. TJ Watt got one vote from,
not even from me.
Cody Benjamin and, D Ford also got a vote from RJ White. So those are your honorable mention guys. you know, right along the edge too. I mean, we mentioned Everson Griffin, Melvin Ingram, Olivier Vernon, Nick Bosa could put his name in the hat this year. Brandon Graham, Ziggy Ansah, Yannick Ngakoue didn't get a single vote, which is pretty crazy. Justin Houston, no votes either. So those are your, and Carlos Dunlap, guys who are on the edge here. Maybe Derek Barnett could work his way in. Cleveland Farrell, a rookie. Marcus Davenport, a second year player who could potentially see his name mentioned there as well, next year. And of course, John Breach, who hasn't worked in 3 months.
He didn't vote in one of these top 100s. Hasn't done his top 100 list.
Hasn't worked. And he's back. Today is, we're recording this on Wednesday. Thursday is when you'll hear this. But John Breach back finally on Wednesday after a...
Still celebrating the Women's World Cup.
How drunk do you think he still is?
He is both drunk and hungover at the same time.
It's a good way to go through life, son. All right, Ryan Wilson, thanks as always. We will talk to you soon, my friend.